Craig Hoffman.
I'm just saying, I think it's possible.
Are you keeping that hope alive? Because you already know, I already told you, I'm the king of the clip. And I did slip up this week.
The Hoffman Show.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
Tuesday.
I'm king of the clip. You're 0 for 1. That's what you are. You're 0 for 1.
I slipped up. I was coming off of, you know, a tough weekend.
You're coming off a great weekend.
All right, a great weekend.
You had exactly locked back in. Hey, Haney.
Yes, sir.
We're back in practice,
yes,
bro.
Yes, sir.
Head in the game.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
This ain't even practice. This is a real thing.
Wave your hands in the air, shake the dairy, yeah. These three
Hoffman
words,
Show on the Team 980, always live on the free Odyssey app. Anthony, how many things, by the way, are in the clip folder? How many things do we have in the Things Craig Said folder?
Let me check real quick.
Okay. I also want to know if there's more in the What Things Craig Said folder or the Things Linnell Said folder, even though Linnell's been on like three times.
He makes some bold predictions, doesn't he?
He does.
So right now, I only have five. I mean, to be honest, I probably will have to go back and clip some other stuff.
Okay.
But right now we have five.
King of the clip. That's what he calls himself, Scott.
The thing
King
is,
of the clip,
when the season rolls around, I promise you, it's going to fill up.
I think you're going to be real. Frankly, like, I think you're just going to be really disappointed in me because I'm not like a bold proclamation person. I am a, like, I'm measured analysis. Here are the options. Here's how likely they are to come true. I'm not going to be like, if they don't win six games, I'll walk to Ashburn.
Oh,
that
wow.
Show's from 9 to noon.
Wow, that's a cheap shot. But it's true, he did. And, you know, Chuck Sapienza bailed him out. I mean, I would have made it happen. I would have had film crews. I mean, we could have done a whole thing. We could have a tent set up, you know, every so many miles to do water or whatever. But, yeah, no, they played off the legal department, you know, angle and
they were
go.
Probably right.
Well, there probably was a legal thing involved, but you're right, yeah. I was ready to go there if you weren't going to do that. But, yes, that is the ultimate, like, be careful on your hot takes, you know?
Yeah.
Be careful on your hot takes.
Yeah. Hot takes, not really my style. That doesn't mean you can't be insightful. Doesn't mean you can't be entertaining. It just, you don't have to be bombastic. All right, let's do training camp 5-5. Although, Scott, if you really think about it, this music underneath footage of Russell walking would have been pretty
good. Would have been awesome. It would have been, again, NFL Films could have done a whole thing. It could have been great. Like, we could have made a charity thing out of it. I don't know.
Chris Russell's prediction went sideways, and that's when he decided that he had to owe his bet. He walked to Ashburn. Okay, I'm done. Ron Rivera. Of course, the head coach of the Commanders speaks every single day. You will be hearing mostly from him today. Although, like the dessert of this segment is Tress Way today. That's all I'm telling you. Dessert of the segment is Tress Way. But what does Ron want to see from his offense against Carolina? Here's what he said.
Well, you want to see some consistency out there. You know, you want to see him, you know, getting in the huddle, breaking the huddle, getting to the line of scrimmage. And then being successful with the plays that are called, operating things, doing things well. You know, hope we get all kinds of situational football going. We'd love to see a couple of third downs, love to see some red zone stuff, obviously. And then some short yardage and goal line. I mean, you hope for that in your first game. That's why you hopefully target somewhere between 15 and 20 plays, have a nice drive somewhere about 8 or 9 plays and stuff like that.
I tend to think they get one really nice drive. They're good. If they don't execute on that first drive, they'll come back out for a second, see how it goes. And I also would not be surprised to see 17 come off the field before everybody else.
Yeah, although, you know, we were just talking about earlier, they need to create that chemistry or develop that chemistry with Carson Wentz in game situations, so who knows. But, you know, one thing Aaron Rodgers said this week that I actually agree with, which was that the one series for an offense is, you know, like 3 to 4 plays kind of thing, and then like, okay, we're protecting him is stupid. I mean, like, you either let him get in a rhythm or don't. You know what I mean? Like, as you said, if you can get it in one drive, awesome, right? Like, you have a 10-play drive or an 8-play drive or whatever and score, great. You guys
good.
Are
we did it. We got the rhythm.
Yep. You're done for the night. But if you have a 3-and-out and another 3-and-out, you know, give him a chance to create some type of momentum, at least get some first downs, you know, before you check him out.
Now, one question that's been lingering going to the season is about Jahan Dotson. Dotson He's been so good at receiver. There's a little bit of the thing that happened with Terry where we all thought as a rookie, oh, yeah, he'll come in, he'll play special teams, he'll be awesome, and then he'll play some on offense. And now it's like, oh, my God, he's our number one receiver. And with Dotson, it wasn't that he was going to be a special teams player. It was like, oh, he can help you on punt return immediately. And Ron, for the first time today, gave away that that plan, in certain circumstances, might still exist.
Well, you want a guy, first of all, that can secure the catch. You know, and we know both those guys can do that. They both have done it in NFL games. You know, and don't discount the opportunity for us to use Jahan as well. That's something that, you know, we've talked about and something we're going to continue to discuss as we get closer and closer to the regular season.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I said this to you the other day. I mean, it's like, call it whatever you want, like the break glass moment in the game or like, you know, DeSean Jackson, the Eagles used to be famous for this, putting him back there. Heck, back in the old days, you know, Coach Gibbs would throw Darrell Green back there. But that was very rare, usually playoff occasions, right? But, yeah, I mean, he's good at it. I mean, you see the highlights at Penn State. I mean, he's natural. He's a natural.
Yeah.
I can see why he'd want to. I'd be tempted to do it as well.
For sure. I also love how Ron says obvious stuff in a way that makes it sound like he's being insightful.
Right. We've all talked about this.
Yeah. Compared to, like, when Jay used to do it. Because when we used to ask Jay about punt return stuff, he also said, well, we're just looking for a guy that can catch it. But, like, he said it in kind of a sarcastic way, because, and yep. Also some of the punt return issues they had during his time. It's like, yeah, you're looking for a guy that can catch it. But Ron's like, well, first of all, you have to understand that the ball, it should not hit the ground. Like, we know.
But we all did live through Steve Sims 2 seasons ago where suddenly he just couldn't find the ball. Like, yep. It was weird because he was okay at it, and then all of a sudden he wasn't, right?
Yeah. No, and that definitely happened. The yips almost for yep. punt returners are real. On the defensive side of the ball, obviously a lot of attention on defensive end, and that could start with the coaching staff. Now with Sam Mills out and Ryan Kerrigan hanging around, Ron was asked if there's a possibility that old 91 could actually get a gig full time.
Well, I think the biggest thing right now with Ryan, you know, he's kind of trying to feel things out and get a feel for what he wants to do. You know, so he's asked about shadowing the coaches, and, you know, it's been kind of interesting because, you know, both Sweat and Chase just gravitate to him, and, you know, they spend a lot of time talking. They really do. It's kind of good to watch, you know, somebody who's got a tremendous amount of knowledge, vast experience like his. I think it's been good to have him around and be around our guys.
That's awesome. I mean, look, he has street cred in the locker room with those two young bucks, because remember, I mean, Chase's first year in the league, he's playing with Ryan Kerrigan. Sweat, you know, play with him, obviously, for a couple seasons. And they know what they could do. I mean, I thought, you know, in particular, remember that first game, right, against Carson Wentz and the Eagles for Chase Young and the havoc they wrecked. And Ryan had a huge game, thanks in part to the young rookie being such a disruptor. So I would imagine they do have a good relationship because they already had that friendship moving back. And then they respect Ryan. They saw the way he went to work every day, the way he does things. He was always a good technique guy, too. So I think it's a positive and, you know, but I understand the other part of it, which Ryan's got to figure it out, because you know this, Craig. This guy's put in a hell of a lot of hours, and it's a pay cut from when you were playing, unless you're a head coach or a coordinator.
100%. It is a lot of work for not a lot of money.
Right.
And you almost wonder if Ryan would be better suited first year retirement, like relax, settle in. Like, hey, Ryan, come whenever you want. Don't feel like you need to be here. We'll also call you on occasion if we think we could really use you for something. But, like, let's make it a more casual thing than a formal thing. I could see that working for both sides. But I think Ryan is taking it seriously, which doesn't surprise anybody that knows Ryan Kerrigan, that he's taking this seriously and I think legitimately, like, exploring this is, like, do I want to put in this time? Do I want to be here every day? There's no doubt he wants to help these guys, and he has a strong affinity for the organization. But that coaching commitment is no joke. Of course, he wouldn't just be working with Chase and Montez, be working with Casey Tuhill, Gene Smith Williams, and whoever else makes the club behind them. Ron asked specifically about those two, the top of the depth chart behind his two stars at end today.
Well, I mean, they're two opposites. I mean, the thing about Casey that you like is, you know, he's a guy that has the flexibility that you can drop him into coverage on occasion. And that, I think, is to the benefit, especially when you get into that five-man front, because we're not always rushing five. And that's what a guy like that gives. With James, you got more of a big physical guy that plays downhill, plays into the line more. And with him, you don't have as much flexibility.
James seems to be very much in the driver's seat to start opposite of Montez week one with Chase Young out. But they've got an interesting variety of guys, and some guys including like William Bradley King, who have had a really good camp behind him. Jaca Toney's an interesting one. Like I actually think gameplay, these preseason games, for that final spot on the D-line, or those final spots if you want to include some of those interior spots, F.A. Obada, David Bada, Daniel Wise, like these games are going to matter quite a bit.
No doubt. I mean, that's where you flash. I mean, we were talking about, you know, like a guy like Nate Orchard, right? Maybe he didn't make the team the first time, but eventually he was like the first guy they called, right, or was on the practice squad. But even if it's just that, I mean, just making a paycheck, it's keeping you relevant in the league. And as they always say, you're also playing for the other 31 teams, right?
Yep.
And if you have a big game against Carolina and maybe you don't make this team, maybe the Panthers remember you. You know, it's like it's one of those things, too. You gotta put it out because the film it's there and it will always help you or haunt you.
Yeah, unlike the practice tape, game tape's out there for everybody. Last but not least, we made it, Scott. We made it to dessert. Based off of what we were doing yesterday around this time, I don't know if you guys like dessert. We never really
dessert.
Got to dessert. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Everybody likes dessert, one kind or the other. Tressway was just go back and listen to the whole press conference. I swear. But this was probably the highlight, was asked about taking stuff from other punters and how it's helped him over the years. And he told a heck of a story about a coach who changed his career trajectory back in 2018.
Yeah, and probably until this airs, they other than Brett, whenever I wrote on the jersey, these guys probably had no idea I stole their stuff, but that's a beautiful thing about film. We have film on everybody that you can watch any team in any phase. And those, honestly, it is the ultimate compliment. I considered those dudes to just be absolutely elite. And Coach Ben Kotwicka, when he was here, I think it was 20 going into the 2018 year, he looked at me dead in my eyes and he said, your production does not match your talent. And he goes, you got to find a way to get to that next level. And that is, to be frank with you, that really pissed me off. And he told me right to my face, and I kind of used that as a bit of a challenge and tried to build on that. And I'm very thankful he did that. He still texts me regularly and is very complimentary, but I think he knew kind of how I tick, and he ultimately saw what maybe potentially I could be. So that's something, those guys, I look up to them, mixed with Coach Kotwicka back in the day encouraging me, just perfect storm.
The way you drop the ball, body angles, positioning. There's apparently a lot to learn as a punter in film study. Who knew?
Yeah, it's not just kick the ball hard. There's a lot more to it. I still want to see Tress throw it again. I mean, that pass, I mean, he's still got a great quarterback rating. That one play against the Giants that they ran so many years ago at the Meadowlands or whatever the hell they call that place now. But, you know.
That's actually what it's called.
Whatever the
stadium.
Looks like a tin can on the outside that's had, you know, been shredded. But anyway, yeah, I would, Tress is a great athlete. I mean, he's a great communicator, and he punts the air out of the football.
Best player on the team.
He has been.
Terry's challenging him.
Yeah, but there is that.
Tressway might just be the best player on the team, and that's no shot at anybody else. That's a compliment to Tressway. All right, when we get back, what are our expectations for the preseason? Then let's circle back around to some NBA stuff at 5:30, including the news of the day that the NBA is retiring Bill Russell's number across the entire league. I talked about that a little bit earlier when the news broke, but want to get Scott's thoughts as well, and a little Wizard snuck in there as well. Are they really going to finish 12th in the East like ESPN projected? Yikes, bro. It's plenty to still come on the Hoffman Show on Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app.